hello. Happy Women's Day. This is International Women's Day, and I am here today with some amazing women that we're going to have a conversation around some subjects that are not always talked about on this day, but faith, friendships, and finishing well. So if you don't know me, I'm Lisa Vanderquack, and I'm the founder of Speak to Transform Academy and this show, LisaV.TV. So let me introduce my guest today. First of all, I have Tamara Browning. Hi, Tamara.
Hi, Lisa.
And then we have Caroline. Okay, now I've got on the spot, Georgia. Is that right?
Close. Georgia.
Say it again, Georgia.
Yep, just George with an F.
George. There you go. Welcome, and Candace McCoy. Hello.
Hi.
Hello, ladies. So good to have you on this today. So I thought it'd be really great for us to jump on today on this International Women's Day and just have a conversation as women. We all come from different backgrounds, different stories, different seasons of life, and different things going on, and really just kind of get some perspective on some things. I just want to say this right off the top of the bat. I don't know why we don't have a holiday today, because I know some countries actually have a holiday for Women's Day. Ooh, okay. My daughter texted me. She's in Ukraine right now. She said, Mom, there's a holiday today for Women's Day.
That's awesome.
I'm like, okay, I can
promote
that. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, we're just going to make it a holiday because we're here all together. And so let's just talk a little bit about faith. One of the things that I know as a woman, there's a lot of things going on in our world today that can be really confusing. I'm just thinking about like little girls growing up in our world, a lot of messages going out there about what it means to be a woman, what it means to be a strong woman, what it means to be you as a woman, and just be able to embrace that. And I know for me, my faith has been a big part of me being free to be who I am, no matter what the messages are out there. But, you know, as women, we have so many roles that we play and that change over our lifetime in different seasons. And I think our, you know, men would agree that we tend to have more than they do. But we do it so well, for the most part. I think we're all like, okay, all right. At least we want to do it well. But I would love to know from each of you, and we can start with, we'll start with Tamara, and just, you know, what does faith mean to you in terms of as a woman, and what role does that play in you even showing up in who you are as a woman?
Wow. That's quite a question. I don't know that I've ever thought about my faith in regards to being a woman being different than maybe how a man would have faith. But I guess for me, like you said, we women have a lot on our plate. And so my faith has really come into play in the whole relationship piece of really asking Jesus and the Holy Spirit every day, what thing do I need to get accomplished today? What's my priority? And so just having, feeling like there are so many things that need to get done by the end of the day, but he knows what's coming. Mm. And so just really leaning into that and going with those little whispers of, you need to get groceries, or you actually need to do some book work, and just going with it, even though it might not make sense with me. And then looking back and going, wow, that actually was the right thing to do. That made a difference for my family. So that's where I see faith really coming into play on the day-to-day journey.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Love that. And I love how you said, yeah, it doesn't really matter. I mean, obviously faith is universal, male or female. But I love how you talked about that in terms of just doing things that doesn't necessarily, you don't even know why, but it's, and you just trust there's a meaning behind that. How about you, Caroline?
Yeah, I keep thinking about this little sign that I have on a table when you walk in my front door, and it just says, you know, bloom where you are planted. And for me, that's what faith is all about, is where's God got me planted now, and how can I serve him well until he plants me somewhere else. Mm. But from a woman's point of view, you know, it's really interesting. This last year, I've been thinking a lot about that, being a woman and having faith, and what does that look like in comparison to a male, and not to compare, but just really to, you know, hunker down and think about that, as to how can I get involved with helping other women and being a good sister. So yeah, when I look back, I did not know Jesus as a young woman. So I made a lot of the mistakes that I'm seeing a lot of women or young women make today. So I'm starting to ask myself, and probably because I'm in a later season of life than someone like Candace, for example, but I'm starting to ask myself those questions. What can I do to start helping those young women see themselves as Jesus sees them? So it's kind of a big answer to a big question, but it's kind
that's of really at. Good. Yeah. You know, when you said that bloom where you planted, it reminded me of when I first moved to Edmonton, and we were in my family, my kids and my husband, and I, we moved to Edmonton, and we were renting a house, but we knew that it was going to be temporary because we were going to buy a house. But what we did was we had all of our boxes. We had moved from BC. So we had a whole bunch of stuff that we did not unpack. And I don't know if anyone's ever lived in this kind of a situation where
that was our move to Edmonton.
Yeah. What?
That's exactly how our move to Edmonton went.
Yeah, temporary rental. Inevitably, it's like, okay, something you need is in one of those boxes mm-hmm. that are unpacked.
Yeah.
And I was just one day praying and like talking about faith. I was one day praying, okay, God, like, I don't want to unpack. And he said, you know what? Why don't you just unpack and live as if you're going to be here for a long time. Like, but the concept was just embrace the, like you talk about bloom where you planted, embrace the season, embrace the time, fully engage, because otherwise it becomes more stressful. We're trying to put on hold or whatever it might be. And I did. And we end up being there an extra year than I thought we would. So it worked out to be really well, but it makes me think about that when we have faith that we can trust beyond what we even know, like both of you were just talking about. How about you, Candace? Thank you, Caroline.
Yeah, I think faith is kind of the cornerstone of what I try to bring myself back to every day. Just in my relationship with the Lord and navigating life with, you know, husband and lots of children underfoot in this season. And so I think, you know, the verse that's been kind of like on my heart a lot lately in the last season has been, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Right. And so faith is really, for me, become, where am I trusting the Lord? Right. Where am I, how am I worshiping him and pleasing him with my life? Right. And so just looking at the different aspects of my life through the lens of faith, and asking myself the question, like, am I not trusting him in this area, or am I trusting him in this area? And so I think that's kind of been the journey that I've been on, is discovering areas where I actually don't trust him so much as I thought, and having to like kind of go to him and surrender and be like, I am mad that I don't trust you. I'm angry, like being authentic with how I feel about, you know, the things that I'm realizing, like, oh, I don't trust you as much as I thought I did. Right. And so like allowing him to, like, you know, okay, well, why is there a lack of trust there? Right. Having those kind of quiet conversations in my heart with him about trust and following, because you can follow when you trust the outcome, right? Yeah. When you don't know what you might be following into, it's a lot harder to trust. So that's where faith comes in, to see through those kinds of situations. So
that's so good. That's so good. And thank you for sharing that, because it's true. It's like those moments of kind of the veil gets removed from our eyes where we thought we're doing so good. Just like, well, let me just point this out. And, you know, the beautiful thing is, as that relationship with the Lord, for those who are listening, it's not like it's done in a way that is mean or exposing. It's out of a love. It's out of a love just like, you know, we love our children enough to help them when they're kind of going off the wrong way or doing things that might be harmful or out of alignment with who they are. So it's the same thing. And I think that's really important because faith can mean a lot of different things to people in terms of a belief. It could just be a belief, right? And yeah. There could be a lot of variations of that. And so in terms of the having that kind of trust, I'm just talking to you, Candace, right now, in terms of having that kind of trust that you're talking about, even what is the foundation of that faith? Like, what is that faith built on?
For me, I think I've got two answers. I think of my like instinctive, like right answer, you know, would be like, oh, my faith is, you know, rooted in the Word of God. Right. And that's what I would want to say. But actually, I would have to say even more than the Word of God, although that's revealed aspects of his character that I have been able to put my faith in. It's been my history with God. It's been how he's proven himself to me over and over again to be faithful, mm-hmm. in just the different circumstances that I've experienced in life. But then also just a lot of the favor and the grace that I've walked in through, mm-hmm. my life, right? The safety and the protection that I've had that I credit to having met him at a young age and walked with him to the best that I knew how in obedience. Right. So, mm-hmm. So I think just, I would have to credit it to that, which I don't know if that's.
Yeah. That's so good. I love that because it's based on a track record. Obviously there's a step that we take in the beginning to trust, but then reinforced that we can trust because of that faithfulness coming through is what I hear you saying. That relationship, yeah. Relationship. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is so, so important, you know, as believers, as Christians, because again, there's so much variation of understanding of what it means to be in faith, or even as women, as Christian women, because we are created in the image of the God that created us. And because of that, we are relational beings because he's a relational being. And yeah. So he's just put that within us. It's part of our DNA. We need relationship, and we're designed to be in relationship. And first and foremost with him. And so that brings me to our second subject, which is all about friendship. Now, friendship, it's kind of one of those subjects where we use that term a lot loosely in our world. You know, some people may be acquaintances or people that we just know from a distance, but maybe they're not real friends in the sense of there's not a depth of relationship that would say, you know what, I would put my life on the line for that person, or I would come to that person. If they called me, need help, I would be there. You know, there's those kind of friendships as well. And not everybody fits into that category. And so I know for me, it's been a journey through my life and learning about friendships and having to really learn the role, the importance of friendships, but also that not everybody plays the same role as a friend in our life. And that's okay. It doesn't mean we reject people who don't. So just some thoughts on that from your perspective in terms of how you have maybe walked through life and what has been the role of friendships, or what are some things that you want to share, maybe some things that you've learned or that have really been helpful for you as a woman, and what is the role of a friendship? Because there's a lot of competition among women in the world as well. And there's been a lot of women who have, and you and I are among those who've been hurt by other women because of whatever reason. And because we're human, we're going to be hurt, and we've probably hurt others as well. And so I would love to just unpack this a little bit, and just to hear from you, what are some of the things that you've discovered about friendship and the role that it plays in your life? So who wants to go first?
I'll go first. I love this topic. I feel like we could talk about this for a long time. So I love how you talked about competition, because I think that's one of the worst parts of being a woman is mm-hmm. women seem to compete with women, and it starts at such a young age. And I remember, you know, being a mom of a daughter and really having those conversations with her about how school was and why some of the issues were rising up at school and how to navigate the competition between women, young girls, starting even with what you wear and how you look and what you do. Like, there's so many layers there. Mm-hmm. And watching her learn to navigate that and forgive and keep short accounts and see her own places where she had to look at herself and think, am I competing? Am I feeling insecure? Is there jealousy there? Mm-hmm. And then learning to have friendships where you come alongside. And I've been so blessed with so many great women friends mm-hmm. and who, you know, the depth of relationship that I love are the ones where you have these lifelong friendships of women who can challenge you and they can ask you hard questions. And you know that they're in your corner and they're mm-hmm. asking you those questions to grow you and help you see where maybe you have a blind spot. And instead of it being a competition, it's a coming alongside and it's a mm-hmm. working together. And that your friendships can glorify your Father in heaven. And you really can have these amazing close friendships. And I think lastly, what I would say is I don't want to compete with other women. But when I have experienced it and continue to experience it, I think it's kind of fun to think about how could I not enter the competition? How could I instead, you know, change the dialogue and come alongside them and help them feel secure mm-hmm. and that I'm not interested in competing with you. Like, we're on the same team here. Yeah. So I love this conversation.
That's so good. I love that what you said. Let's just make a game out of this that we're not going to engage in this competition. That is such a great perspective, great approach. So much freedom. Yeah. And you do that so well. You nurture from what I know of you. You've got some great friendships, but you also take time for it.
Yeah, it's important to me for sure. Mm-hmm. Such a gift. And I have great sisters too. Like, I have two sisters, and navigating your friendship with your siblings sometimes is maybe the most challenging, but mm-hmm. the three of us really work together because we want to be close and we want to have that friendship. And it definitely takes work and time and nurturing and care and forgiveness mm-hmm. and yeah. So
yeah, that's so good. Mm-hmm. Who else would like to chime in here?
No, yeah, go ahead, Candace.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Well, I just think about friends that, like when I think over the years, I've been really, really blessed. And the reality for me when I really started to realize I didn't have a lot of sister friends was when I first moved to Edmonton. I thought it was awesome that I could go to the mall and not even look good because nobody knew who I was. And then all of a sudden one day somebody spots you and recognizes you. It's like, oh, I got to up my game here. But I realized if I wanted to go out and have fun or do anything, the only person I could do that with was my husband. And I mean, sometimes you just want to get out with a girlfriend, you know, and have a coffee or go for a walk. And so it wasn't until I got involved in prison ministry, actually, that I gained a bunch of girlfriends and, you know, lots of women serving in prison ministry. And I've still got some really good, solid friends from that time. But there's something about, you know, when you have a friend who you can just really open up your heart to, and they can see the good, the bad, and the ugly, and at the same time love you. And then to me, that's probably the closest thing you're going to experience to experiencing the grace of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we talk about Jesus and you use the word relationship earlier, Lisa, that was the pivotal word for me that changed everything in my journey, was realizing it's not about a religion. It's about a relationship. And then as you go deeper into that relationship and he starts to reveal who you are, and who he's intended you to be, then you don't even want to compete with anybody, because mm-hmm. you're just at peace with who you are. And when you look at others, you can look at them through his lens and have grace for them. So for me, my experience is all of that goes away. And when I come across someone where I'm sensing that there's that competitive edge to them, I actually think, oh, you know, I really hope you get to experience that peace of who mm-hmm. Jesus created you to be.
Wow, that's so good. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. so good. And I think sometimes a tendency can be when we feel that we can withdraw, because we like if but then that creates a distance, right? And that, yeah. that creates an even more of it. But to be able to go the opposite way and to affirm them and and just come alongside and celebrate them, I think helps mm-hmm. to just kind of break down that competition. At least I've mm-hmm. seen that.
Yeah. Yeah, we all need to experience that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's funny. Interesting you talked about prison ministry, because that is actually where I started to really form some really solid women relationships too. Mm-hmm. When I was in Vancouver and I was in ministry, and I was a part of a, it's a long story, but I'm not going to go into all the details, but I was a part of a dance group that were, let me just say, I'm not going to say older women. We're just women. Women.
We were
married. We had kids. We were women who loved the Lord. And it was all about, you know, worship, but also in terms of creating evangelistic messages through the dance. And so it was a group that I was a part of. It was part of a prophetic word that had been spoken over to me. Da, 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 da. We won't go into all those details. But these women were like from different churches, different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And we came together and we just started to pray, okay, God, what do you want us to do? And as we began to train together, one of the things that we started to do was go into the prison on a regular basis, the women's prisons on a regular basis mm-hmm. to build relationship. Because as you know, you need to be consistent in order to build trust specifically mm-hmm. in those areas as well. But that's really a lot of where mm-hmm. I develop some really strong relationships mm-hmm. too.
Yeah. It's like you find your freedom in prison.
That's yeah.
what it's been like for me. Mm-hmm.
But I think it's more that, so like, it's not so much even the fact of the prison ministry. I just bring that up just because it was a commonality with you. But I think the fact that we had a common goal, we had a common mission that mm-hmm. we were working on together mm-hmm. and we would have that consistency. You talk about that time investment. We would consistently come together. We met together every couple of weeks. And we were in that. Yeah, we were working on things, but we worked on our relationships in terms of building that. And I think that's really what we need, right? We need to have those kind of opportunities as women to forge deeper relationships, because we have a common passion or mission that we're walking together mm-hmm. to fulfill. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah. How about you, Candace?
Yeah, I can think of so many things to say on the topic of women and relationships. And I think, you know, I think it's so important to have women in your life that you can call when you need sound advice, you know, when you need direction. I'm so thankful that my mom, you know, mm-hmm. knows the Lord and loves the Lord, because that's just an easy phone call, right? Mm-hmm. And so many times I've been like, Mom, I don't know what to do. And I can call my mom, right? And then I think of my sisters-in-law who can, you know, empathize with my season in life. And we walk together and we support each other mm-hmm. and we encourage each other. And, you know, like husbands are great for so many things. But when you need support in your marriage, and sometimes support looks like, you know, venting or whatever, mm-hmm. like being able to process like your struggles or your frustrations in a safe place with people yeah. who are gonna like actually, you know, encourage you, you know, to look at what you can do, you know, and encourage you to like, you know, keep trucking, you know. Mm-hmm. I think it's so important to have like healthy relationships where you know that your marriage is safe in that place, where you can get honest feedback and, you know, honest feedback on your parenting, people who see the day to day, right? See the nitty gritty of like the not so awesome moments. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I'm so thankful for my sisters-in-law and that I have that kind of relationship and we all know and love the Lord. And so that's really awesome. And then I think of like you and, Carolyn had kind of said, you know, ministry relationships, people who you track with in like the purpose that you were created for, I think is so, so important. And with what Tamara had said earlier about competing, I think it's so easy to compete with the women that you are meant to run with. Right. Yeah. And so, the gal who leads our team in worship, and I serve alongside of her. I remember one day I strategically called her. She'd taken leadership of our team. And for years I had thought that that role was going to fall to me and, you know, patiently waited. But then when it didn't, I had a choice to make. I could either choose to feel threatened and insecure by this young, passionate, mature young woman, or I could choose to call her up and have her over for coffee and say like, hey, I might be older than you, but you're my leader now. And I submit to you and I love you. And I'm excited to see what God is going to do in and through your life. And so just take the competition right out of it. And now we're dear friends and we serve alongside each other and it's amazing and beautiful. Right. And so I think relationships are so important to know, like kind of what you said, I think a little bit earlier, Lisa, know what the function is of your relationship and engage wholeheartedly in those things. So
that's so good. And you know, that really takes that, that example that you gave is so important because it also comes back to say, okay, how am I tending over my heart and my well-being to be able to feel secure no matter, you know, what's coming, because it kind of brings that up for us. Do I feel secure in who I am? Am I threatened by this in some way? And so there's opportunities to grow as women. But if we have that understanding that we love each other, you know, that there's we're for each other. And these are just, we're okay to navigate through any of the misunderstandings or conflicts or things that might come up. Because they're going to come up, right?
Yeah.
That's such a good example. Thank you. And I mentioned this earlier that for me, I read this book years ago that about how we need to begin to identify the different roles that friends, different kinds of friendships play in our life and not to expect, say, one or group of friends to fulfill a certain role when maybe they're not meant to. That's not within their capacity. That's not within their personality, whatever it might be. That's not the role. That's not why they're in your life. And so for me, it brought so much freedom to be able to identify that internally and to be able to kind of test that out as I was going along, but to be okay with that, say, okay, and not to be feel like, oh, one is better than the other. No, they just play different roles. Mm-hmm. And this person's not going to be as responsive to me that way because that's not the role they play. And I'm okay with that. But it takes us the ability to see even seasons of our life. Have you found that? Like seasons of our life, there's sometimes friendships were really prominent, a particular friend or two were really prominent and played a significant role. And then, you know, a different season, not so much. Any thoughts on that or comments about that?
Yeah, I think that's been really true in my life and such a gift to have different women in different seasons of your life. So I think when my kids were in school, it was really natural to hang out with the other moms whose kids were the same age as my kids and really the play date thing, but also, you know, the going for walks while the kids were in school and really encouraging each other, helping each other. And those women are still friends, but I was just talking to one of them yesterday and I haven't actually seen her in years, but we connect over Instagram. And I said to her, isn't it great that I know we're friends, even though we never see each other. And she said, best kind of friends. Like, you just pick up where you left off, even if it's been 5 years. Yeah. But in a season when our boys were in school together, we hung out a lot together.
Yeah.
And it's such a gift to have the freedom and the flexibility with women who, I think you nailed it on the head, Lisa, when you talked about security, because there has to be a level of security in the women to be able to say, that was a season. It doesn't mean I don't love you anymore, mm-hmm. but we're just doing different things. And there's only so many hours in a day. Yeah. And, you know, and it could change again, but you don't reject each other, or, you know, it's not a rejection or a shunning or anything like that. It's just, we're in different places in our life, and, you know, we still care about each other, but we're not as much in each other's lives as we once mm-hmm. were. So it's such a gift to have that and to accept it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. Mm-hmm. I was just going to say too, in terms of, and the thought has gone from my mind right now, something that Candace said earlier and that you picked up on, but it'll come back. Friendships, yes, they are important for us. Well, I know what it was. There it is. You were talking about, Candace, how you were talking about, and when you were talking about how you were with the different moms and relating to each other and walking stuff. We need those kinds of people in our life, like when to be able to share with or to bounce things off, so that we know that we're not alone. We know that my situation that I'm dealing with right now is not isolated, that other parents or other women have had to navigate this. And I think that's so important for us to be free, but to also have those kind of conversations so that we can, like you said, Candace and Tamara, is that we can learn from each other. We can, like, why have to do the same mistakes when someone else has kind of already been there, done that, and let me give you the handbook on it.
Yeah, I think, you know, we have friends for different seasons, and we also have friends for different reasons, right? So you'll find some are really deep friends, and then some are your, you know, Facebook friends that you probably will never see again, who knows, or there's, and then there's everything in between and different depths in relationship. And yeah, just as Tamara was saying, that you just kind of come in and out of each other's lives. And sometimes you're there to be their friend. It's not about them being your friend. It's just sort of, yeah, stopping and asking God, okay, you brought us together for a reason. So what's the reason?
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, sometimes it's the other way around. Well, let's talk about this last subject now, is all about finishing well. And what I had in mind about this one was, again, we as women can fulfill lots of different roles, and there's different seasons of our life. But what does it mean to you to finish well? If you think about the end of your life, and you've done, and I know this is a big subject, so by the way, for those of you listening to the replay or the viewers, none of this is scripted. This is all off the cuff. We're just having a conversation here. So we're just going to roll with this as to how the conversation goes. But, you know, we can have a lot of pressure on us as well. And again, I think about the world and just different messages that are being pushed in the world as to what is okay, what's not okay, what women should and shouldn't do, and what is more honorable and what is not. And at the end of the day, we have to make a decision as to what are we going to be at peace with in terms of what we want our life to look like based on where we feel like God has called us to, how he's designed us, all those things, and what is the acceptable. And so what one person says is finishing well may not be what another person, and that's okay. That's really okay, because we're not here to be clones. We're not here to just mimic each other. We're here to be our unique individual that were put on the earth for a specific purpose that only we can live for our children, for the people in our lives, for whoever God brings into our sphere of influence. But I'm wondering if you've ever thought about this question. and what it means to you to finish well. So let's start with Caroline.
I was hoping we were going to do Tamara again.
I broke it up. I mixed it up a bit.
You broke it up on me. No, finishing well, I think it depends, you know, what I'm thinking about. When I, like, I have two daughters, and so, you know, raising my daughters, I come from a long line of women who didn't have a lot of options and choices available to them, and you know, found themselves in situations dealing with lots of alcohol and abuse and so on and so forth. So what was really important to me when I was raising these girls is I want them to know they have options, they have choices, no matter what situation they find themselves in, and that they don't have to be perfect. It's not about perfection at all. And so that was something I was quite focused on. And now I'm later in life and they're doing awesome and doing their own lives and making their choices, making great choices. But now I'm sort of at a point, you know, that rocking chair test is kind of what you're asking us, right? To looking back. And I'm really starting to develop a heart these days for young women and helping them to understand that they have choices. And not only are they loved, but they're lovable. I'm discovering many don't believe that. And so that's the big thing that's on my heart these days. So I hope I can sit in that rocking chair one day and just know that again, I bloomed wherever I was planted. Mm-hmm. That'll be finishing well for me.
That's good. Options. Yeah. That it doesn't have to be a certain way.
Yeah. And there's so many women I'm learning, you know, we're lucky that we live where we live and we have options, but there's so many women around the world who do not. And so, you know, it'd be really sad to take that for granted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I'm just going to go with this. This thought came into my mind. I was reading this book. I have been rereading this book lately. It's called Women of the Awakening by Lewis and Betty Drummond. And there's a story in there. One of the missionaries, all about women who had gone into different nations of the world. This is like back in the 1800s, 1900s, and impacted places. And talking about that in terms of options, there's a story about this one woman who went into China, and she went in there and bringing the gospel. There was an existing church there and everything, but she was bringing the Holy Spirit in. And she just started to do Bible studies with some of these women who were actually, some of them were already in the faith, and as she went into some of the teachings, there was one time where the Holy Spirit just fell and a number of these women just started weeping, and there was a conviction came on them, specifically in the area of abortions, and where they had realized that they had made choices, but at that time they didn't know there was no other way, because in that culture, and what it was the female children that they were carrying, they aborted them or killed them. And, you know, there's one woman said she had 13 that she had. And so it's just these stories, but what came out of it was like, why did no one ever tell us that this was okay to have these children, because they didn't know any different, because their government was saying, if you have a female child, she's not worth anything, and you're only allowed to have so many children, so you just got to kill them. And I think, whoa, the power of truth and education, the power of opening up people's possibilities of what is acceptable. I know that's an extreme story I just told, but it reminded me of that, because you talked about options, how, yeah, we don't know until someone tells us.
Very true.
Yeah. And you deal a lot with this in Freedom Session, correct?
With, you know, we deal a lot with people,
I'm talking about choices. Yeah.
Coming to places where they can make healthy choices, but based again on their relationship with Jesus and where he's guiding them. And we all have our own stuff that we're dealing with and need forgiveness for. And each of those women, you know, need to experience that forgiveness. And then we grow out of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, right? The healing, it doesn't matter what we did or didn't know in the past, as we come into that place of relationship with the Lord, we can be completely restored and healed.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And to make better choices. Go ahead.
No, I'm in line with you. Yeah. Yeah.
The wholeness of that. I know that that's been a huge part of my life in terms of the freedom, the inner healing, just the reality of the healing power of God and forgiveness and complete change.
Yeah.
Of mind. Complete change of mind.
But because you brought that one up, which was such a heavy one, my experience in ministry and in Freedom Session is when we talk about forgiveness, many people struggle to forgive themselves. Like we can all look at each other and see, you know, you deserve forgiveness, you deserve. But then when we come back and we look ourselves in the mirror, we can see all the reasons why we do not deserve forgiveness in, deep down inside. So learning to accept that forgiveness. And then, again, beginning to see yourself through the eyes, through that lens of Jesus. It's a very different place to be.
It's really good. And to be able to live life, to know that we have resolved any issues, right? Resolve those issues that maybe are unresolved in our life, I think is really important in finishing well as a woman.
Blooming where you're planted, right?
Here we go. Comes around.
I'm in spring mode. Yeah, it's spring. I'm in spring.
Yes, we need to bring out our flowers to remind us. So good. Thank you. So who else wants to chime in here about finishing well? Tamara, Candace, what's on your heart? Go ahead, Candace.
Yeah, sure. I think for me, you know, I think anyone who's got kids, you know, wants to finish raising them well, right? Like, I think that just comes straight to the forefront of my mind. I want to raise children, you know, who love the Lord, and who want to honor him with their life, right? And so I think that to me is like, if I can accomplish that one thing in my life, right? Is to pass on that heritage of relationship with God. You know, not religion, not just like doing right things to please an angry God, but like having a relationship with, you know, the one who created us, and to see each of them kind of step into their purpose in life. Oh, my kid's coming over here. I think the other thing I think about in finishing well is just like we kind of touched on seasons earlier, and just acknowledging like I tend to break my life into seasons, you know. I take on a project or you know, a commitment, and I want to see that season through well, right? And finish that project well. Usually before moving on to the next thing, but I'm learning how to like let myself have some flexibility in that as well, right? And so I think my idea of finishing well is starting to shift a little bit, realizing that like my capacity as a wife and mom is of utmost importance. So finishing well looks like, did I stay who I am through this season? Did I stay rooted in my walk with the Lord through this season? Did I take on more than I can handle? And then now I have to shift some priorities in order to like not lose it. Right. And so I think for me, finishing well looks like finishing healthy and whole. Like we're going to have messy moments. And as long as they're moments that we can like bring to the Father and like work through, like I'm cool with that. Right. Cause that's authentic. There's authenticity in that. But like, if I'm living in a constant state of survival, stuff's got to change. Stuff's got to shift. So I feel like I'm constantly, you know, kind of moving things around so that I can stay like healthy and as whole as possible through each kind of changing season.
That's so good. Yeah, that's so good. And yeah, we have those because seasons can bring up different things or we're different things that we're involved with. It's helps develop us. How about you, Tamara? Are you able to talk?
Can you, my dog's barking. Is that let me know.
Real life.
Yeah, real life. Yeah, finishing well. I love what you both said. It's. I have so many thoughts, but I guess what it's come down to is I was thinking about how we prepare for things. So Candace is about to have another child, and you prepare for that. Or when you're getting married, you know, or if you're going for, I was thinking the simplest thing, like you're going for a run. I'm not a runner, but I am a walker. And so you wear certain shoes and you wear a certain jacket and you assess the weather and you think about how long you're going to go and how you're going to finish well. And if I think about life, we sort of hope that our life is going to go a certain way and we're going to be prepared for every step. And then real life happens. Yeah. And it's like, I have running shoes on, but I actually need maybe a stethoscope and something that I'm not even trained to use. I need to figure out how to do this now. And finishing well is going to look like my kids are doing something or my husband is accomplishing something or I'm accomplishing something and it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And so how am I going to finish well? And I guess what I come down to is, can I go through every season just surrender? Just, I trust you, God. And if I can look back and say, I loved who was in front of me. Mm-hmm. I had peace about the situation I was in. I had joy, even though it was overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Then I can get to maybe even the end of 5 minutes and say, I did that well. Mm-hmm. And then the next moment I'm messing up, but then can I forgive myself and try to have peace and joy going forward and being surrendered going forward? So my hope is that I'll get to the end of my life and say, I grew in peace. I had joy. I surrendered. And hopefully people met or experienced some of the goodness of God in a conversation with him. Yeah. And to me, that would be finishing well, because I just realized so much of life is just way out of my control. Mm-hmm. And if I put finishing well as check marks of accomplishment, I may just wind up disappointed and feeling burdened and bitter versus free and joyful and surrendered. Mm-hmm.
That's so good. I love what you said there in terms of it's a good reminder that there's so much out of our control and yet is what is within our control. And for me, that's part of the finishing well for me is am I faithful with doing what I can do in order to, with what's in my control, to finish whatever God puts in front of me or to start or to be faithful and to steward well. And that comes into play with my health, my parenting, my whatever it is, my relationships. If I'm able to say, okay, did I honor God in this by doing what I can to make sure it's healthy and whole in those areas or that I'm healthy? Or did I honor God by being faithful to respond in whatever way he wanted me to with what he's put in my hand to do? You know, at different seasons, there's different things in our hands to do, right? So it's like, okay, I don't know how to do this, but God, you do. So I'm going to look to you and just follow your lead. But was I faithful in actually doing that and paying attention and being willing to be stretched in those places where I don't feel like I have what it takes? But am I willing to learn and grow? And so for me, finishing well is being at peace with, I did what I felt like God called me to do in every season of to embrace life fully. Because we have a choice at every season. We could either pull back or we can engage fully. Depending on what's going on, we often can feel like pulling back. And I know this last year and a half, many have felt like pulling back and just retreating into a hole or with a legitimate reason, you know, in terms of what's going on. But we have a choice. Can we still engage? And in that, really flourish or bloom where we're planted, or give out of what God has given us to still live life well and feel like we're being true. I think it comes down to being true to who I am as God has called me to be, because that's really it, right? That peace, having peace with God, peace with mankind, with women, mankind, having peace. That's our responsibility. And that's my responsibility in my life. So that's what I think about as well in finishing well. And I'm so thankful for each one of you women. And I just want to honor each one of you, because you all play significant roles in your families, in other people's lives, in other women's lives, and will continue to do that. So I know that God has put you on this earth for a reason and a season that's significant. And I would love, if anyone wants to connect with any of these women, they're all available to speak, by the way. Candace might need to put a hold on her during her delivery time, but also they're got different things going on that you might benefit from. Like I mentioned, Freedom Session that Caroline helps oversee in Canada, and can put you in touch with some sessions there. If you're looking for a place to really engage in some of those relationships where you can navigate maybe some areas of your life that are unresolved, that you need, that you want to bring, give God opportunity to heal and bring wholeness into your life, then she's a great person to connect with for that. And then Candace is writing a book on creating, cultivating a lifestyle of worship and intimacy with the Lord, which I think is foundational to any woman who wants to walk with faith in God and develop strong relationships and be who she's, who, everything she's created to be. And I know Tamara has a lot of things going on. She's a speaker. She speaks regularly at her church, but also for organizations. And so if you're looking for a woman who will come and inspire you and challenge you and just help you develop some of these areas that we've been talking about today in a way that's going to be in alignment with who you are and who God has called you to be, then I just want you to, I want to encourage you to connect with her as well. So any final thoughts or things you want to put out there to women today on this International Women's Day before we close out?
Just happy Women's Day. Celebrate yourself. Yeah.
Yeah, celebrate. Well said.
Yes, because you know what? When God created us, he said it was good. It is good. Women are good. Now, we're not better than men. We are good. Just like men are good, we are created in the likeness and the image of God, and we're put on this earth to really display the fragrance of God wherever we are. And so that's my prayer for everyone listening today, that you would tap into the fragrance of God and allow him to just ooze out of you. Learn what it means to just emanate the presence of God in your life, because that's who you're put on the earth. That's what you're put on the earth to do, and to bloom where you plant it. Well, thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful day. And women, enjoy this day. Take it as a holiday, even though it may not be a holiday in your nation. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Bless you, Lisa. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.